Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting live from Shelter in Place, my home office in Portland. And down in Florida, nasty shenanigans. Three different candidates were thrown into Florida Senate races, apparently to siphon votes. You know, these were called decoy candidates. For example, in one case, in a case that was decided by 31 votes, a third-party candidate got 6,000 votes, and his last name, Rodriguez, was identical to that of the Democratic incumbent, Senator Jose Javier Rodriguez. This guy, Alex Rodriguez, he filed a false address. He didn't have a candidate headshot. The money was coming from a dark money source. All three of these candidates, even their email addresses, were created with the same name and number sequence. First initial, last name, district number in 2020. They're all affiliated with the same political action committee. I mean, sleazy stuff. And meanwhile, now we know that, you know, why did the Cuban-American vote in Florida go to Trump? Well, this is from Raw Story by ProPublica, actually. In Florida, where President Trump gained crucial support among Latino voters, his campaign ran a YouTube ad in Spanish making the explosive claim, and by the way, the false claim, that Venezuela's ruling clique was backing Democratic nominee Joe Biden. Now, the truth is Venezuela came out and said, we don't back either candidate. They're basically in kind of hate America mode right now. But YouTube showed this. This was an actual ad from the Trump campaign with this lie that Biden had been endorsed by the Venezuelan government. And YouTube showed the ad more than 100,000 times in Florida in the 8 days leading up to the election, even after the Associated Press had fact-checked it and debunked this claim. And thus, Trump carried 55% of the Cuban-American vote, according to exit polls by NBC News. And this is just, you know, what they know about on YouTube. I'm guessing that this ad is all over the place on Facebook. But, you know, Zuckerberg isn't real enthusiastic about sharing all of his metrics. We just don't know. So there's a lot on the table. You know, has Trump sold out the United States? I think so. I mean, he brags about how he prevented Mohammed bin Salman from being held accountable for murdering Jamal Khashoggi. Is he about to sell us out to other governments? Is Russia the only one? Where's he going? What's he doing with this? Number one. Number two, what do we do about red state dependency on America? You know, 40% of the revenue for the four different red states is coming from federal dollars coming out of blue states. And where does Trump go when he leaves?
The Tom Hartman Program.
It's the Tom Hartman Program, the true people's media. Michael in Cassopolis, Michigan. Hey, Michael, what's up?
Here we go again. Hi, Tom. I'm calling you. Pardon me if I stutter. I fought this since childhood, but being a public education classroom teacher, that kind of helped a little bit. I'm sure there are a lot of TV hosts, radio personalities that overcome it, you know? And
you and Joe Biden,
Moses,
Michael.
Hey, Moses was a stutterer, according to the Bible.
Interesting. The guy who was in Iroquois, I was going to say mythology, but history, I guess they would call it. There was this guy who came and taught a fellow named Hiawatha, who was not the Hiawatha of lore and legend. This was just, apparently it was a common name. But there was a guy who came and taught this fellow how to create the Iroquois Confederacy, how to create, basically, you know, we modeled our democracy after the Iroquois Confederacy to a large extent. And that guy's name, and I'm sorry, I can't remember it. I'm not sure I could ever pronounce it, but it was something like Dilga Gogotha. But that guy's name, when you translated it from Iroquois into English, was the stutterer. So, and he was the one who basically was the kind of the Jesus figure, you know, the bringer of wisdom to the Iroquois people. So,
yeah,
you know, a lot of famous stutterers around there, Michael. What's up, anyhow?
A lot of famous stutterers, you know. Lord told him to take his brother Aaron. So, anyway, you liked the tweet I sent about, it was a picture of our county Democratic headquarters. And I told you about a week before the election, we were just fired up, ready to go. So I was optimistic. So Michigan came through, okay? And
yep.
The hardest thing, I want you to understand, it wasn't just a pretty picture. There are people who've been working in this party there in that county office for years, keeping it open right next door. There's a thrift store. The chair lady of our county party, she works diligently. And it was hard in 2016. I want people to know. The meeting right after that election, we had to knuckle down and get ourselves together, go to the state convention, put ourselves on the ballot. And I want you to know, if it was hard then, it should be easier now for you to go down to your party and move this thing forward. I'm a progressive, yet I have to work with people who've established the party and have the infrastructure, okay? So my point is, our problem is we... our values. We don't need to be taught American values. Ripping children away from their parents, the screams of the children and parents in the slave market led to the abolition movement. That's an American value. Not having a young girl, a teenage girl, have to go have a coat hanger abortion. We look for other things. That's an American value. We don't need to be taught family values, my man. And I sent you another tweet of the water here in Michigan and Kalamazoo. The stuff comes out of the tap. I think rather than we need to knuckle down, use harder language to show people. I showed you the water in this last tweet I sent, what's floating there. That's something everyone can relate to. Rather than talk to about climate exclusively, people can't see the temperature, but they can see in the water what's there. They can see what's in the food. If you could just hear how hogs scream on the killing floor, we would change a lot of things, okay? It's just,
yeah.
We
both... That's why it's illegal to take pictures of slaughter
exactly.
Operations. Because
you know,
we can it would turn people
them.
Into vegetarians. Yeah, I'm with you, Michael. Let me add one last piece to this. A couple of weeks ago, we were reporting on this program, and it was all over the national news, down in Georgia, they have a massive private prison detention center down there. And apparently young Hispanic women were being sent to this local gynecologist and it looks like they were getting their tubes tied. They were or having hysterectomies, having their uteruses removed. They're still trying to verify all that, but here's the latest news on that story, that, you know, just mind-boggling story. This is from the Associated Press, AP News, Dateline Houston. The Trump administration is trying to deport several women who allege they were mistreated by a Georgia gynecologist at an immigration detention center, according to their lawyers. ICE has already deported six former patients who complained about Dr. Mahendra Amin. At least seven others in the Irwin County Detention Center in Osceola, Georgia, who made allegations against the doctor, have received word that they could soon be removed from the country. So, I mean, this is just the evil of this administration. Just absolutely knows no bounds. Michael, thank you. Brilliant. Bill in Clifton, New Jersey. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Yeah, hey, Tom. I just wanted to point out that even if McConnell's successful in sandbagging Biden for the next 2 years, 2022 is another big bite at the Senate apple. There'll be 34 Senate seats up, 12 of which will be Democratic and are safe. But there are three Republicans who are retiring, Richard Burr of North Carolina, which is trending blue, Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, which is blue, and Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania, which is blue. So there still is a pretty good chance of getting control of the Senate, even if I have to wait till 2022.
I expect billions to be spent in this election, in that midterm election. Yeah.
Right. And also, I just wanted to mention quickly something that happened to me last Saturday night. My Amazon account was hacked, and I was charged for 10 Trump masks at $13 a piece by a seller that just sort of happened to appear with no history, and said it was delivered within like 12 hours, which didn't happen either. But I was able to straighten that out with Amazon. It was weird.
That's very weird. You mean somebody got or figured out your password and bought them, or you think that seller simply claimed that you bought them and billed you?
That seller, which just appeared and had no history, charged somehow to my account that I had made the sale, even though there was any evidence, and that it had been delivered within 12 hours. But Amazon straightened out, but it was sort of unnerving, really.
It's anything that has the word Trump in it, you know, anything that is even remotely related to Trump probably is a scam. Jeff in San Francisco. Hey, Jeff, what's on your mind today?
I just want to point out the recent tweet or statement by Chuck Schumer. And he sounds like Bernie. I saw this on the Humanist Report. Some people think he's scared to death of AOC primarying him into the next election cycle, which is good. And I wish we could do the same thing to other big Democrats who don't want to, you know. The fact of the matter is, the reason we took Michigan and Wisconsin was because of the squad. And we went left. Everywhere we tried to stay in the centrist, we lost. But he's, you know, saying that Biden can basically, with the stroke of his pen, he could write off $50,000 in student loan debt for each person. I'd love that. I've been paying for 20, 25 years on mine. I'm still not done. And I'm a boomer.
Education should be free in the United States. This should not be controversial. And if Donald Trump can give $1.5 trillion, which is the total amount of U.S. student debt right now, if he can give $1.5 trillion in 2017, to, you know, really just a few thousand really, really rich people in the United States, why can't we give $1.5 trillion to the millions and millions of Americans who have student debt that literally does not exist in most other developed countries? Most other developed countries see education as an important part of their infrastructure. This is crazy. Jeff, I'm with you. And whether Schumer's looking over his shoulder at AOC or whether they've just looked at the polls and figured out that progressive policies are really, really popular, not just with the Democratic base and not just with the AOC folks, but they're really popular even with Republicans. I don't know which it is. I'm hoping it's both here on the Tom Hartman Program. James in Montgomery, Alabama. Hey, James, what's on your mind?
Hi, Tom. First, I just want to thank you for being one of the few national dialogues for rational thought and sanity that's left.
Thank you, James.
I'm an over-the-road trucker, and it's like I'm living in an alternate universe. It's an episode of Twilight Zone. All these people that I'm talking to that are talking about, there's thousands of examples of how the election was thrown by these Democrats. And you try telling them that it's almost impossible to throw an election across this country in all these different states. But where are they getting this information? I mean, I can't find it anywhere. And they're so certain about it.
Yeah, if you were to take your Facebook account and start following a bunch of right-wing sources, that would cause Facebook's algorithm to start funneling more and more of that kind of crap into your feed, into your timeline or whatever it's called on Facebook. And you would see it. Most of this is coming out of Facebook. But there's a fair amount of it popping up on YouTube and Google and other right-wing sites, and an awful lot of it on right-wing hate radio all across the country. Fox News has kind of backed away from it, but One America Network and Newsmax, the other two right-wing TV networks, you know, are just going full tilt boogie on this. These are folks who absolutely hate the idea of majority rule, democracy. They are very happy with the fact that, you know, Republicans in the United States Senate represent 15 million fewer Americans than do the Democrats, yet they have control. That, you know, Trump got 3 million fewer votes than Hillary Clinton, yet he became president. They're fine with minority rule. I would say, James, the next time one of your trucker buddies, because you're not going to be able to knock down, you know, if you say, you know, if they say, well, you know, I saw a video of them stealing the votes in Oklahoma. I saw it, on YouTube, or I saw it. You can't say, no, you didn't see that, right? You can't argue with people who believe phony videos or phony lies that they've heard. So I think the best response is to say, yeah, you know, our election system really is creaky and cranky and clunky, and we really ought to do what all the other major democracies in the world do, which is have everybody vote by mail. That way there is a paper ballot that's connected to your name, and you can check and make sure that it actually was received by the state. You can see that the state actually counted your vote. It doesn't reveal who you voted for, but it does tell if your vote was counted. We all should be working to get paper ballots and vote by mail so that we can have absolutely transparent elections that are totally clean. I completely agree with you. That's how I would respond to them, James. What do you think?
It's, well, like you said, you're assuming you can get that far without the without all the emotions and expletives and yeah. The irrationality exploding. But it's the sick part is they believe this. And that if you try to contradict, like you said, with real media, with objective truth, they deny it. They say, oh, that's phony. Oh, that's not real. That's conspiracy.
Yeah, you can say, oh, that was debunked by the New York Times. That was debunked by the Washington Post. One of my, I was going to say neighbors, but more of an acquaintance, said something like this to me in email the other day. And I just sent back an email reply saying, who was saying, hey, you know, there's real problems and I'm concerned that the Democrats are trying to steal our election, blah, blah, blah. And I just replied saying, this is somebody I knew years ago. And I replied saying, you know, I agree with you that our election system in the United States is a mess. And we need every state in the union to have vote by mail like I have here in Oregon. In Oregon, my ballot is a paper ballot. I fill it out. I mail it in. It's postage paid. I don't even have to put a stamp on the envelope. And then I can go on the Secretary of State's website and I can see when they received it and when they counted it. And if there was any problem with it, they will tell me, you know, if my signature didn't match or anything like that. I said, you know, and I said to him, your state should have that too. And he replied to me saying, yeah, you're right. I need to work on that. So if we could just kind of turn this a little bit to try to turn some of these hysterical Republicans into activists for a clean election and a consistent nationwide election system, I think there might actually be a good outcome to it. And like I said, as you point out, James, so correctly, you're never going to be able to change their minds. They believe what they're believing. James, I got to move along, but thank you for the call. Jeff in Portland. Hey, Jeff, what's up?
Hey, good morning, Tom. As you've previously numerously pointed out, that the only reason Trump got elected in 2016 is because he went against the Republicans of the last 40 years. We knew he was lying when he did this, but he promised more affordable health care and prescription drugs. He promised huge infrastructure spending and an end to the free trade deals and to protect Social Security and Medicare. These were all progressive positions, Tom. They let him crush his Republican challengers because since 1980, the GOP has been nothing but the billionaire and corporate elite-owned party. And even their own voters were seeing through that, so that they have nothing to offer to the average American. So, Tom, let's stay aggressive with the progressive agenda, and let's force the GOP to start doing something for the American people, or they will be exposed once and for all as the shills to the billionaires that they are. But my question, Tom, you know, you're talking about Trump building a moat. Who knows if that what's going on with that? But, you know, the fact that he's disconnected from reality, he's showing no evidence, he's not conceding this election, and firing all these people. So shouldn't Nancy Pelosi be considering invoking the 25th Amendment? John Brennan has urged,
she can't do it. Jeff, it has to be initiated by the vice president.
I thought it was a joint thing with her and the vice president, because I know Brennan has called, John Brennan's called on Pence to do it. We know Pence won't, but doesn't, I thought the Speaker of the House had something to do with the two.
Let me just pull it up here and fact check this. whenever the vice president and a majority of either the principal officers of the executive departments or of such bodies as Congress may by law provide, transmit to the president pro tem of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives their written declaration that the president is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, the vice president shall immediately assume the powers and duties of the office of acting president. In other words, it has to be initiated by the vice president. So
it has to be initiated by him. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it doesn't hurt. It wouldn't
maybe
hurt.
Maybe we'll reach that point.
Pardon?
I said maybe we'll reach that point. Maybe it's time to lobby Mike Pence. Hey, Mike, wouldn't you like to go down in history as president for a few weeks?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what John Brennan has done. So, I mean, yeah, maybe we can get some Democrats to join with him. You know, I mean, because, you know, we can't underestimate the damage that Trump can do in the next 2 months in terms of everything, including national security. And, you know, you had Trita Parsiyan, who knows what he might pull in regards to Iran. So, I mean, I just think we just can't sit back and be passive. Maybe, I think David Sirota was suggesting in The Guardian yesterday that, you know, there should be a big public campaign. Biden should just start publicly campaigning for him to get Trump to accept the results.
Yeah, well, we're all doing that, and Biden is, you know, campaigning for him to accept the results. We'll see. This is, you know, Trump is setting up his after the presidency scam, and he's a grifter. He's always been a grifter. He's been a grifter for 4 years in the White House. He's going to continue. He's, in fact, all the fundraisers that they're doing now go to a PAC that he controls. Pat in Orange, California. Hey, Pat, what's up?
I wanted to talk to you about that same Daily Kos article. And
about right-wing radio?
Yeah, about democratizing right-wing radio. So, the idea, he had two issues that he said make it that it's going to be more plausible to do it was, one, the artificial intelligence that has the ability to transcribe hate radio in real time so that they can be evaluated for the lies and the misinformation. And then that information can then be taken to advertisers and said, really, do you want to be associated with these lies and these things that have serious negative consequences to, you know, real people? Like the idea of denying climate change and the idea of the coronavirus being a hoax, right? So these things have real consequences, and advertisers should know about that and see if they really want to be tied to those things. Right. So that was one point. And the other thing is, unfortunately or fortunately, however you look at it, Rush Limbaugh is likely to not be around for a lot longer, you know, or at least certainly not be able to work in the capacity he had. And that all of the people out there on these right wing hate radio are, you know, they can't hold a candle to what he's done. All right. And so there'll be a big void. Right.
Yeah, there will. Limbaugh is a very talented man. He started in radio the same. He's the same age I am. He started in radio the same time I did. We were both teenagers.
I actually had been listening to him from the 90s, right? And I started listening.
Yeah, I used to listen to him, too. I'm with you, Pat. And he is going to leave a hole in the right-wing radio world. And, you know, MediaMatters.org used to track right-wing hate radio and report on, you know, outrageous things that were being said. And occasionally I'd use them as a source or even have people from that organization on. I haven't checked their website in a while. They've been kind of quiescent. And then there's this newsletter that I get in email every day called The Writing, R-I-G-H-T-I-N-G, The Writing, which basically gives you a summary of what's going on all the right-wing websites. And Sean has reached out to them about, you know, having the guy who runs that come on the program and giving us an overview of what's happening in the right-wing media world. And I don't know that they're monitoring radio. I think they're mostly looking at the web. But AI, this was one of the things in that Daily Kos piece, was that artificial intelligence gives us the ability to more easily take a radio program and instantly transcribe it and then look for words, you know, keywords and things that might be flagged for disinformation and lies and stuff like that. You know, I had a young woman who's working at George Mason, the right-wing funded, reach out to me a while ago asking, for access to all our podcasts and asking if we have transcripts, because they were putting together a report on radio. And I'm guessing that they're going to try and figure out something that I said that's wrong, which is fine. I'll own up to, when I screw things up, I'll admit it on the air. But having something like that going on the right would, in my opinion, be a good thing. Pat, thanks a lot for the call. Kevin, in Durham, North Carolina. Hey, Kevin, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. I heard you talking earlier this week about Trump voters and how we should respond to them, whether we're willing to forgive and forget. And, I saw these tweets from people like Megyn Kelly and Dan Crenshaw who are like, well, Biden's talking about unity, but they spent 4 years calling us liars and racists. And number one, I thought we were the snowflakes. And number two, you are liars and racists. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not going to forgive you for supporting a fascistic, immoral, corrupt, racist administration. You shrug your shoulders.
I assume by you, Kevin, you're talking about the Trump voters, not me.
Right. I'm talking about the Trump voters. Yeah. If you're willing to shrug your shoulders at children being separated from their parents, you're willing to shrug your shoulders at a government sitting on the sidelines while a quarter of a million people die, I'm not going to forgive, I'm not going to forgive you for that. These people don't believe in democracy. I mean, Kelly McEnany and all these people are running around right now not conceding the election. They don't believe in democracy. And, I'm not going to support that.
I think I think that there's something to be said for opening channels of discussion and dialogue. And I think it's going to be a long time before, for example, Jared and Ivanka are welcomed back into society, and particularly in New York. But having dialogue with them in the hopes that they can be salvaged. But we have to be very, very wary. These are people who bought into a fascistic worldview. And who openly have trashed the ideals that this country was founded on and are continuing to in many cases. So at the very least, we need to be very, very wary of these folks and just not give them an inch. Thank you, Kevin. Robin in Kingston, Washington. Hey, Robin, got a minute to the break. What's up?
Yeah, listen, Tom, I'm really concerned that in 2022, the group of people who just snuck Biden in. The last time I called, I said I didn't know who was going to win. And I'm worried about a repeat of 2010, where people did not stick with Obama. And we have...
I get it, Robin. I think it's more likely it's going to be like 2018. We actually picked up seats.
Well, I hope so. That's my point.
Yeah, I think so. And also, you're going to have a bunch of vulnerable Republicans running for the Senate. I'm optimistic, actually, about 2 years from now.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Just got a tweet from TMI-Chael, C-H-A-E-L. Tom, it seems to me, looking into Ralph Nader's suggestion that Joe Biden offer to appoint one or more Republican senators to the Biden-Harris administration, that only Pat Toomey and Richard Burr, that would be Pennsylvania and North Carolina, both states with Republican senators and Democratic governors, Only Pat Toomey and Richard Burr look as though they would be moderate and come from states with Democratic governors. And there are, I mean, you know, there's certainly precedent for this. I believe it was Bill Clinton who put William Cohen in as defense secretary. William Cohen had been a Republican senator. So, you know, it gets real interesting. Now, what you would have to do is go back and look at the constitutions and the laws of the states of Pennsylvania and North Carolina. And if it was Pat Toomey and Richard Burr, and make sure that the Democratic governor can appoint a senator, that the Republican-controlled legislature in both those states can't override what the Democratic governor says or does, and all that kind of thing. But by the way, the fact that there are states with Democratic governors and legislatures controlled by Republicans says that the majority of people in those states voted for Democrats. And yet those states are still, you know, controlled by Republicans at the state House and state Senate level, plus, you know, are sending a Republican majority congressional delegation to Congress. Now, why would that be? Gerrymandering. And how do you fix gerrymandering? With nonpartisan commissions who draw congressional districts based on good, clean math rather than totally partisan math. And that's part of H.R. 1, this piece of legislation that Nancy Pelosi got through the House, the very first piece of legislation. And, you know, obviously, it's all going to have to, and it's also part of a separate piece of legislation Mark Pocan was telling us about. All of that has to be rebooted as we go into the new year, because there's going to be a whole brand new Congress. And so all those great pieces of legislation that Pelosi got through the House, over 300 pieces of legislation that would have helped the American people, all of them blocked by Mitch McConnell and the Republicans in the United States Senate, because the Republicans don't care about helping the American people, or at least 95% of the American people. They care about helping the top, you know, the fat cats at the top and the big corporations, but not the average person. You know, they'll say, oh, yeah, you know, we'll make abortion out, you know, we'll outlaw abortion, vote for us so we can screw you. I mean, this is how it works. By the way, this is just hysterical. All these affidavits, the Republicans are going to court with affidavits from people saying, we have proof of voter suppression. Meanwhile, down in Texas, the Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick is offering $1 million to anybody who can prove voter fraud. I mean, voter suppression, I can prove that. That's easy. Republicans do that all the time, every day, all over the country, and Democrats don't scream and squeal anywhere near enough about it. But voter fraud? I don't know. So anyhow, they're submitting these affidavits in these court cases. I told you a couple days ago, I think it was Monday, about the one where they submitted an affidavit that said that a poll worker had written on a Post-it note, an anonymous Post-it note, had written that they thought that some of the people counting the ballots were partisan. But it was an anonymous, there was no, I mean, it was really? So here's another one. This is not a poll worker, actually. This was one of the Republicans who was allowed to watch the vote count, right? You have to, you know, you have to apply to the state. They don't just let any old crazy person in to watch the vote count. Equal numbers of Democrats, equal numbers of Republicans. And this person said, as I attempted to challenge this process. Now, the big thing that they do, by the way, that the Republicans do, And we're seeing this hugely. We're going to have to, you know, as we start getting good, clean numbers, I want to get Greg Palestine to talk about this. He and I were corresponding about this in email last night. I was like, you know, what's going on in Kentucky? We're seeing, you know, counties that have a majority of Democratic registered voters voted for Mitch McConnell in overwhelming numbers. What's going on? And he's like, well, the Republicans are challenging the ballots based on the signatures, the mail-in ballots. And you're having really, really high rejection rates. So this is something that the Republicans, you know, you get a Republican and a Democrat looking over the shoulder of the person who's comparing the signature on the outside of the envelope, and the Republican, and if they know that that envelope came from, say, Philadelphia or Pittsburgh, you know, Democratic strongholds, they're going to say, that signature is no good, I object. They're going to do that as often as they can. So this staffer in Michigan says, as I attempted to challenge this process, I was harassed by Democrat challengers. I was told to go back to the suburbs, Karen, and other harassing statements. The Democrat challengers would say things like, do you feel safe with this woman near you? Is this Karen bothering you? I believe this was designed to intimidate me and obstruct me from observing and challenging. Aww, snowflakes. Republican snowflakes are so sad. The Post cites another poll watcher who said that the public address system had issues. It was too loud. That's clearly voter suppression. It's just incredible. Another poll watcher found it odd that military personnel are voting for former Vice President Joe Biden. There's got to be something wrong here. We're looking at a lot of votes for Biden from, you know, military. Oh, my God. Right. Kathy in Dayton, Ohio. Hey, Kathy, what's on your mind today?
Oh, hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, I just wanted to say that Ralph Nader's idea is beyond brilliant. I think it'll work. But in case Joe Biden doesn't get that memo and that plan goes awry, I just want to put it out to your listeners what they can do to help with the Georgia Senate race. There is phone banking. There is text banking. There's postcard writing, letter writing, and also good old-fashioned donations. And every single person can get involved and do this. It's not hard. You just have to do it.
Yeah, and Kathy, let me add one more thing. There is being very active on Facebook. Facebook is basically, you know, the main cesspool that Republicans pour money into, and right-wingers and Nazis and hate mongers. We see now one of the guys at the Proud Boys is saying, I'm a Nazi. I'm tired of pretending we're not. It's like, what? But anyhow, that's all happening over on Facebook. And so, you know, if you're on Facebook and you know anybody in North Carolina, or if you reach out to anybody in North Carolina, I would say do that, too, because you may crack open their feed. Facebook's algorithm, when you follow a couple of conservative feeds, they start feeding you more and more and more conservatives, and it gets more and more crazy. And pretty soon your entire, you know, timeline or whatever it's called on Facebook is just filled with right-wing stuff. You know, I just liked a couple of left-wing things on mine, and now mine's filled with left-wing stuff. So they're constantly pushing more at you of what you have liked. So if you can get into the feeds of as a progressive commentator or thought person, if you can get into the feed of friends who live in Georgia, go for it. That's another one. But Kathy, you're absolutely right, and those are all really, really important points. And thank you. Thank you very much. Pat in Washington, D.C. Hey, Pat, what's up?
Have you ever met or seen or heard of a woman stutterer?
I've only known one stutterer in my life. I'm sorry, say it again?
A woman stutterer. I've never, a female.
Yeah.
I've never met a female stutterer.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But anyway, as a side note, as I was sitting there thinking about it, because I have a nephew who's a stutterer, and he overcame his, and one of the recent examples I gave to him was that, you know, he didn't know that Joe Biden was a senator. Anyway, that's beside the point. But what I called about was I really wanted to piggyback on the point that this guy was making about this vague language. And, you know, he gave the excellent example about, you know, taking kids from babies and, you know, during slavery time and hanging and lynching and all the things that at that time you could a person of African descent could, you know, assume that was an American value, right? And so this whole thing about, especially the progressives as opposed to the traditional Democrats, I have seen it over and over again when they have this vague language in a political contest, they lose. I predicted over and over again to my friends that Jamie Harrison wasn't going to win because, you know, he substituted American values with South Carolinian values. Well, South Carolina has a very storied history, and I can guarantee you values mean one thing to one group of people and something else entirely different to another group of people. So instead of talking about, and if you can't beat Lindsey Graham on his freaking record in South Carolina, that tells me that your message is so muddled and cloudy that nobody knows what the heck you're talking about. And it's just amazing to me how all of that money spent there, and he couldn't figure out how to bring Lindsey Graham's record and where South Carolina is today with Lindsey Graham's position in the Senate for 30 years, however many years, he could not bring that home so these people could see what's in it for them. They didn't know. I mean, it's, you know, kept the South Carolina bill. Well, what the heck does that mean? Same thing with Amy McGrath. She wasn't going to win anyway. She was misliked. And I was so disappointed when I went to a virtual fundraiser for her when I figured out that her, you know, the basic stance was just going to be Mitch has been in there too long. And I'm like, really? Did I just waste $250?
Yeah, and she was also, Amy McGrath was also, you know, I can work with Republicans. I mean, this is the problem with Democrats who get a lot of their funding from big corporations and are afraid to talk about big solutions. They're afraid to talk about canceling student debt because they're getting money from the banks. They're afraid to talk about a Green New Deal because they're getting money from the fossil fuel industry. They're afraid to talk about big programs, you know, universal health care, Medicare for all, because they're getting money from the insurance companies.
Absolutely.
And not to say specifically that any of the Democrats that you just named are in that situation, but, you know, we absolutely know that there's probably about half the Democratic Party that is in exactly that situation. And,
absolutely,
you know, it's real unfortunate. You know, we saw Tim Ryan on TV the other day, you know, doing this, you know, oh, no, we can't have a Green New Deal. Dick Durbin said that on TV. I'm opposed to a Green New Deal. Why? Well, you know, you got to look at who's funding these folks. I mean, because when people come along and say, here's what I believe in and this is it and it's clear and we need to do these things, they win elections. They consistently win elections. And the one or two that occasionally doesn't are the exceptions that actually prove the rule. Pat, spot on. Thank you very much. And never had an opportunity to really kind of audit Jamie Harrison's ads. It'd be interesting now to go back and do a postmortem on that whole election.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
I think the other thing with Jamie Harrison, given that South Carolina was the first state to secede in 1861, was just, you know, the racism of that state. So, continuing on, as they say, Michelle in Denver, Colorado. Hey, Michelle, what's up?
You're fighting against hate, racism, an electoral college, Fox News. That's why the Democrats get no traction. We're the majority. And as long as we're allowing ads to go out, like you said, that got the Latin people in Florida to vote for Trump by falsifying information and putting out false ads, we're going to lose, unfortunately. And some people are just now catching up and assuming the Democrats should do everything. No, we should have been paying attention all along. For those of us who've been paying attention all along, we understand what's happening. But now we have the youth finally catching on, and that has to continue. You cannot burn out. Democracy is only as good as the people that continue to fight for it. John Lewis, Martin Luther King, all these people we've had, JFK, all these people we've had have said this is a continual battle. You cannot get tired, weary, or weak. You have to continually be vigilant. And this is what makes me mad, is that people now, just now catching on to the things going on. Where were you 20 years ago, 30 years ago? You're getting mad at Democrats because they're trying to straddle a fence, and it's a hard fence to straddle right now between going all the way left or staying in the middle or leaning a little towards the right, because we've had far right, and the far right has been winning for over 40 years in this country. So you've got to help them out by constantly paying attention. You've got to help them out by continually staying involved, and we've got to help them out by making sure that we trounce Fox News and everybody else. We can't get complacent, and that's part of the problem. We've been too complacent in this country. We assume the rights are always going to be there, or it'll just change by one person staying involved. No, run for office, donate, make sure you're getting candidates in there that believe what what's right instead of what's wrong. That's the upsetting part for me. As an African American, I've been fighting against slavery for how long? I'm still enslaved in this country. And we have white people waking up, but they're just waking up to the damage that has been done to us as a people and other people. And now it's being done to Latin people coming over from the border seeking asylum. We have constantly been in this battle, and yeah, you gotta have both sides. You gotta have corporate America, and you gotta have a way to say, yes, we need to have go green. We need to have health care for all. We need to have things that are structural for everybody to succeed in this country. As far as the Republicans, I think we need to start cutting them off. Cut these Republican states off with our funding so they can see the damage being done. We have to try something different, because being good, being decent, having integrity, doing the right thing, even for them, isn't working. And unfortunately, that's just how this country is, and that's the way it'll always be. As long as you have people who continually vote against their best interests, who continually keep putting people in because it's party politics, we're always going to be fighting this battle. And that's why I say it has to be a continual fight. We cannot let up.
I
give to Joe Biden. I give to AOC. I give to the people that I see that are trying to do the right thing by all Americans. And that's the big difference. But we got to find a way to fight fire with fire, and cutting some of these Republican states off of money may be one way we have to do it, so that people can see the damage being done by them, or come up with other opportunities.
There's a variety of approaches, Michelle, but I'm completely with you. And to retreat into back into white privilege, or to retreat it back, even back into just middle class or upper middle class privilege, regardless of your race, is a very tempting thing for a lot of people after an election. It's typically what always happens after an election, and we can't do that. We can't allow America to do that, and we've got to keep reminding people of what you said. That was just a brilliant rant. Michelle, thank you very much.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. With higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, all into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. It's accessible from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Hartman with two N's. netsuite.com/Hartman. That's netsuite.com/Hartman. Dr. Dave in Santa Monica, California, listening on KPFK. Hey, Dave, what's up?
I always listen to the weekly radio show of my hero, the Ralph Nader Radio Hour, and he had on my drinking liberally buddy, Dave Dayan, was the guest, so there's a plug for that. And Ralph Nader, I think one of the earlier callers kind of obliquely sort of hinted at it, possibly, if unless I'm mistaken, but Nader floated this idea, which is great, and I hadn't heard it anywhere else, which is, regardless of what happens in the Senate runoffs in Georgia, and I don't know what the likelihood of this is, but I still, it's an intriguing notion, that President Biden could appoint two relatively acceptable, if you can find any left, GOP senators to fill certain posts in states with Democratic governors. Then the governors would appoint Democratic senators, and then we'd have a majority there. And I just wondered, what do you think of that notion? What's your take on that?
I don't understand. One of those races in Georgia is a special election. That's the Kelly Loeffler one.
I know.
And the other, David Perdue, is just a normal election. So when they get sworn in...
Yeah, because he fell short of the 50. But Did I not explain it too well? What I meant is Republican senators in states with Democrat governors, right? So, or Democratic governors, I should say. So if Biden picks a couple of acceptable Republican senators, and I know they're hard to find anymore, you know, all the old Wikers are gone and everything, then the Democratic governor naturally, and it's true of all states, gets to...
Oh, I see what you're saying. In other words, go to states with Democratic governors like Wisconsin or North Carolina. And Tom Tillis would be a terrible example, but
that's a bad one. Yeah, there's got to be somebody better.
Yeah.
But okay, yeah,
example, you've got a Democratic governor in North Carolina who would appoint, assuming. I mean, you have to look at the state laws because in some states, the governor appoints the replacement.
Pat Toomey came up.
You're saying that if he put Pat Toomey that's interesting. Because Pat Toomey's a moderate Republican, and Tom Wolf, the governor of Pennsylvania, is a Democrat. So if Biden were to put Pat Toomey in his cabinet and make him Secretary of the Defense or something, you know, something where he can't do a lot of damage and it's not a really political area, and he could say, hey, I've got a Republican in my cabinet, he pulls a Republican out of the Senate and Pat Toomey gets to replace him with a Democrat. That's the bottom line of what you're saying, and that flips the Senate.
We know Biden, the great compromiser, is, he's a totally bipartisan kind of a cat. I mean, he's always been that way.
Yeah.
And he has a history there.
That's not a terrible idea. That's not a terrible idea. It might even be a brilliant idea.
It's Ralph's idea, so I had to give him credit there. I don't know whom to call, and I thought, well, you have a national forum, so I thought I didn't know who else to call, so I thought I'd call you. Yeah.
Well, you just shared it with the world. Dr. Dave, thank you. Thanks for the call. I listen to Ralph's podcast. I haven't done it this week yet, though. Thank you. Tammy, in where I used to live, Cobb County, Georgia. Hey, Tammy, what's on your mind?
Hey, I'm wondering what we have to do to get Democrats to take the Senate runoff down here seriously. There has absolutely been no support, even during the regular runoff. The only person that did anything was John Lewis before he passed away, endorsed both senators. But now that there's a critical runoff, you see Republicans flocking here. Democrats, not so much. Hadn't heard a peep. So that's my question. Yes, it's very frustrating.
So specifically, you're seeing Republican ads on TV, but not Democratic ads. You're having Republican door knockers, phone calls. What are you talking about?
Republicans. I'm seeing people like Marco Rubio and Rick Santorum coming over here and holding rallies for Perdue and Loeffler, and nobody, no Democrats, no nothing, are coming here doing anything for Warnock or Ossoff. It's like crickets chirping.
Wow,
yes.
That's scary. Okay, Tammy, noted. And,
it's concerning. It's frustrating and concerning.
Yeah. So this is one of the reasons why I think that just making an individual contribution to John Ossoff's campaign, making an individual contribution to Reverend Warnock's campaign, that'll get you on their lists. You can see what's going on. It will keep you up to date, and it's a great place to start if you don't live in Georgia. Tammy, thank you for the heads up. That's grim. Marty in Evergreen Park, Illinois. Hey, Marty, what's up?
Hey, Tom. Thank you so much for taking my call. Man, my call is piggybacked right on your previous caller. I was actually calling to say I am doing phone banking today for the Run Your Ossoff, which is the John Ossoff. They're calling voters. They're trying to get people, and anybody can join in. You don't even have to give out your phone number. You just log in on your computer. It uses an auto dialer, and you're just talking to people. You know, and I did it in Maricopa County, and I'm telling you, the people I talked to appreciated who I reached out to. You know, I made sure that people had their envelope signed correctly, that people actually had a plan to actually drop it off, because a lot of people don't understand how important their voices are until you actually, like, talk to them. And I think that's the most effective way to do it is, you know, actually joining on these campaigns. And they're doing it daily. Like, you can sign, like, I'm going to be doing calling today, you know, for John Ossoff. So I'm on his website learning his issues, learning his policy positions, learning what the, voter stipulations are and what people need to be aware of so that their voice gets counted.
So, Marty, if somebody wants to do exactly what you're doing, how do they do it? How did you get into this situation?
Mobilize.us, mobilize.us, and then they just have a bunch of volunteer opportunities. Elect
John. Who runs that?
You know, these are all non-for-profit groups that are on that. But I know Mission for Arizona was the one that I was joining in with, and it was very effective.
You said Elect
really
John.
Good.
What was that?
ElectJohn.com is in there. They need help, and they're really appreciative of people jumping in.
Marty, thank you.
You're listening
thank you very
to
much.
The Tom Hartman Program.
Are you participating, getting active in the Georgia primaries? Let us know. We'll be right back. Dr. Randy in Portland. Hey, Randy, what's up?
Well, this is kind of a review. Some weeks ago, I talked about the Oregon voting history using Track My Vote, which worked well, and that we had such a high participation in Oregon. It was peaceful. You just see the concern of all the other states when Oregon, Washington, California had such a stable vote-by-mail system. What the news media doesn't really cover is that in advance are the voters' pamphlets, which come to you. In this year, it had two sections, the candidates in one booklet and all the issues and stuff in the other pamphlet. But what it does, it increases participation, that you get a chance to see the candidates and their statements well in advance, that you have time to talk with other people in advance. And I think all in all, it has just created a greater participation for everyone, and not just on the national and state level, but in the county issues and things. And so it's a great benefit, a good model for the nation, and I hopefully
it
increases
is.
the participation at the local level, county level, gives you a chance to look at your county and see how it functions. And just wanted to remind people of this history and how well it has worked.
Yeah, I'm with you. And Oregon is an example for the rest of the nation. We did this 20 years ago. Washington State did it, what, 6-8 years ago, something like that. And it's working really well for them. I believe that Utah has done it. Hawaii, if I'm remembering correctly, there's 5 states altogether. Colorado, all vote by mail. California, that was by the governor. Governor Newsom ordered that ballots be sent out to everybody. But, you know, it's functionally the same thing. And my sense of it is, Randy, you know, we moved to Oregon here probably, 15, 16, maybe 13 years ago. Lived here for 5 years, then went to D.C. and lived there for 7 years, and then came back here. And having to vote in D.C. in person, I really missed Oregon. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, once you try it out, once you experience vote by mail, once you get that ballot in the mail and you sit down with that voter pamphlet that you're talking about, which is like a small booklet now. I mean, you know, it's close to 100 pages, I think. And it's got in detail about, you know, the ballot initiatives and the judges and the candidates and everything else. You get informed by voting. And you also have to seek out information in order to be a competent voter. So I'm totally with you. And I think that so many people voted by mail in this election because of the pandemic that there is going to be a loud clamor for vote by mail from other states all around the country. And of course, you're going to have Republicans trying to resist it everywhere they can because at least in the pandemic, they think that it's mostly Democrats voting by mail. But Randy, thanks a lot for the call. Spot on. And thank you for revisiting that topic. Terry in Eugene, Oregon. Hey, Terry, what's up?
Hey, Tom, I heard a rumor that Trump is potentially thinking he's going to run for 2024, which makes me cringe. Is there any way that's a possibility that he could win, or is there any legislation Biden could do to stop that? Because I was thinking he's going to go to prison in New York for the crimes he's committed there. What do you think?
Right. I think it's probable. I think it's something that he's going to continue doing in order to perpetuate his fundraising scam. What Trump does is he insinuates himself into businesses. He looks for ways to take money out of them. And I suspect that when we go back and, you know, if the time ever comes that anybody goes back and audits some of his businesses that failed, whether it's his airline or his steak company or his board game or his, fill in the blanks, that they will find that he extracted enormous amounts of cash and put it in his personal pocket. And that was one of the contributors to the failures. So, you know, he's got a new scam. He's raised $1 billion in the last 4 years. Just by saying, I'm running for president. He's been running for president since the day after he was sworn into office. My guess is that on January 21st, and maybe before, but certainly on January 21st, actually, if it's maybe before, it'll coincide with the day that he acknowledges that Biden is president. But if he never acknowledges that, it would be the day after Biden is sworn in, Donald, or maybe even the day of, just to try to grab the news cycle, Donald Trump will announce that he's running for president in 2024, and the media will have a whole brand new Donald Trump story that they can chase after, like, you know, a dog chasing a car. And in terms of the probability of his winning, I think it's zero. He will be in his 80s in 2024, if I'm doing my math right. I think he's, Biden would be in his 80s. Trump will be 78 or thereabouts. I just don't see it happening. Biden will run for re-election. I think 2024 is probably going to be Kamala Harris versus a Republican fascist like Tom Cotton or Josh Hawley. Although we'll see. I mean, you know, time will tell. But Tom Cotton has all but declared that he's running for 2024.
And I'm just surprised there's not legislation to stop that.
I beg your pardon?
You shouldn't be able to be impeached and then still run for office the next cycle. I'm surprised there's not legislation that says that. I'm even surprised there's not legislation.
Well, there is.
You need to force it. Be removed from office.
There is. What the Constitution says is if you're impeached and removed from office, then you are forever forbidden from running for public office anywhere in the United States. But he was not removed from office, which, you know, arguably is another good reason to impeach him against, except, again, the Senate is not going to remove him from office. But, yeah, I think it's real likely that he's going to run for president because that's going to be part of his scam. It's just, you know, an ongoing thing. So thanks a lot for the call. We'll be back with more of the news and more of my thoughts and yours in this kind of national town hall meeting we have here every day on the Tom Hartman program. And in the meantime, don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. Never was intended to be. It requires you. So get out there, get active, tag. You're it. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.